Okay, there's some funny texts coming in. The mean streets of Simsbury, LOL. Hey, you've never been there, man. Texter, I'm assuming. You don't know. You don't know. So much glazing going on with Sean and his buddy Stoner. Calm down, fellas. Rob was coming on and saying nice things about me, man. What? I didn't script that or anything.
And then you didn't. You hardly said anything nice about him.
Yeah.
Right, if that helps at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It was total one-way glazing. Yeah.
What
are you doing? Yeah. A lot of good stuff. When is the first Circle of Swarm? Oh, that's a good question. That'll be next Friday, right? Next Friday, 7:20.
I guess so. Is that when we do it? We do it on Fridays.
Fridays
okay.
at 7:20. It will be our first Circle of Swarm. I don't know what we're going to base it on. I guess the preseason.
We're doing a Circle of Swarm before the regular season begins.
Well, we started it in week three last year, so we've got no precedent. You know,
it's. I feel like it for the Texans, it tended to be more of a week by week. It was for the Astros, it's more of a, okay, this is a Circle of Trust. Who do we trust? Circle of Swarm was more of a post-game award. For the guys who were very swarm-worthy that week.
With a glance at the week ahead, though, too.
Right. But it wasn't as much of a prediction.
Yeah.
The Circle of Trust with the Astros, which we've been very negligent with this year.
Yeah.
It turns out we're very much front runners when it comes to a Circle of Trust.
Yeah.
So we got to revamp the Circle of Trust.
We do.
We could do a Circle of Swarm based on the preseason.
I think the people want one. I think they want a Circle of Swarm. It's a fun segment. It generates conversation. We'll do both next week. How's that sound? Now, tomorrow we are going to do our annual NFL head coach death pool draft.
Yeah.
As you and I each try to predict which will be the first head coach fired during the season.
Yeah.
I
got to guess McDaniel's at the top of the leaderboard.
He's
right
at the top of the odds board. Yeah,
but
I'll send you the odds so you've got something to work off of.
Anytime an entire fan base is worked up into a fervor over whether or not your head coach is tough enough, that's a bad sign, man.
Dude, yeah.
That's a bad sign. Yep. You got to do something to. He's got to go out and. He's got to go out and just down. He might need to beat up one of his players.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know which one that would be. It'd have to be a specialist. Like, I don't know which football player Mike McDaniel has a chance in hell of beating up, but he might have to go. He might have to take it too far and get a little too physical with one of his
players. God, that would be fun. That would be so fun. You asked me a question going into break because we just finished up with Rob Stone, who's the host of Fox's Big Noon Saturday. They're in Columbus to cover the Longhorns and the Ohio State Buckeyes. The game will be on Fox. Mm-hmm. And Arch Manning is the A topic for this game for sure. He's the A topic in college football this year, in my opinion. And you asked, do I have an axe to grind with Arch Manning? I don't have an axe to grind with Arch Manning specifically. And Seth, I'll be honest with you, the more interviews I watch with him, the more I like him. I think he's a really likable kid. What I am upset with is the two things. One, the complete assumption that he's going to go into the NFL draft next year and he's going to be the number, not just that he'd be the number one overall pick, but that he would go into the draft at all. Like, the history in the Manning family is guys stay all 4 years, and I know that that was a different time. I would argue that this is a different time that is even more conducive to Arch Manning staying in college with the advent of NIL and getting paid.
Yeah.
Not that he needs the money.
Right. I've seen a couple mock drafts for next year that don't have Arch Manning in it. You know, it's not like people aren't aware of it. And Arch Manning himself came out and corrected his grandpa when Archie said that he wasn't going to enter the draft. Arch said, well, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Archie said, okay, that was out of line. But yeah, there are a lot of reasons to believe that he might not enter the draft. But even if he does enter the draft, I mean, it's just... It has nothing to do with him or how he's conducted himself. It's just that he's an unproven commodity still.
That's the other thing.
And the fact that people are almost acting like it's a given that he's somebody worth tanking for or what have you. When, like, how many times do we have to go through
it's this? It's lazy. It's just lazy.
Tanking for Tua. You know, like, should the Dolphins tank for Tua? Turns out they didn't have to, because he ended up selected fifth that year or whatever it was. You just don't know.
I think tanking talk in the NFL period is lazy. I think tanking talk for Arch Manning is silly because he's, to your point, he's thrown 93 passes at the collegiate level. Like, if his name was, you know, Arch, whatever, you know, Arch Jones or something like that, like he. we wouldn't be having these conversations.
Various other guys who have been the top quarterback recruit, like let's say Davis Mills, perhaps.
Yeah,
like
yeah, out of high school, right?
Coming out of high school,
number one
yeah.
guy. I tell you, Texans had three of them on the roster at one time.
Who
were
the three? They had three former top rated quarterback prospects.
Top rated high school quarterback prospects: Davis Mills.
Yeah.
Kyle Allen.
That's right.
Jeff Driscoll.
And Jeff Driscoll. That's right.
Yep.
All three of them. To the point where I was starting to come up with my theories in my mind that Nick was just going after guys that maybe had never reached their full potential, but at one point,
Nick was the one GM hoping that the NFL would start relegation and they would relegate your team into college.
Yeah.
And then we would dominate with Kyle Allen and Jeff Driscoll, Davis Mills. Exactly.
Now, you know, one big difference is that Davis Mills was not necessarily playing for a program that's the caliber of the current Texas Longhorns.
No.
I think that the amount, there's unlikely to be another worldwide shutdown of college sports in general and all of that.
Yep. Yeah. I was intrigued by some of Rob's answers to the questions that we asked him, like the Portnoy thing. Is really interesting to me. I think Stoner's being 100% honest. When you asked about because I'm in the same spot you are, Seth. I see all these Dave Portnoy stories about, and Portnoy with Fox, he's going to be part of Big Noon Saturday. But Michigan guy, very outspoken, supposedly banned from being able to go on the field in Columbus. I see all these stories. I mean, we asked point blank the host of the show that Portnoy is going to be on, what's the deal? And Rob said, not only does he not know, he will be meeting Dave Portnoy in person for the first time in the next 24 hours.
Right. And Portnoy, I saw a couple weeks ago, said he doesn't really know what their plans are for him. So it could be mayhem. It could be brilliance. Who knows? I felt better that Rob Stone doesn't know whether Portnoy is actually allowed in the building, because I've read conflicting articles about exactly what he is and is not allowed to do at Ohio State.
Yeah.
Because he's been pretty critical of Ohio State. Some would say he's gone too far if you're like an Ohio State booster or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have no idea what to expect. It should be interesting.
It should be. I'm intrigued now. You know,
it's
Fox
working.
Folks will be on. It's working. I'm intrigued.
They're picking up the young male viewer that is Sean
Pendergast.
That is
me. Yup. The demographic of 18 to 25 and 56-year-olds. Just a random island right there. Yeah. And then the whole thing about the ESPN turf war, the dynamic of the two entities, game day with ESPN.
Yeah, they're both there for college game.
And I was expecting an answer of like, no, you know, we all know each other. It's pretty friendly. That was not the answer. The answer was they kind of stare each other down from the opposite sidelines.
Well, it sounds like they're scrambling for a lot of the players that they'd like to interview beforehand. A lot of the actual geography, like where the best places to set up your stage and everything.
Yeah.
I wonder if both networks sent out people extra early, like the people that do all the location scouting type stuff and everything. Yeah, like basically planting their flag or putting an actual tent up. I would, if I were an enterprising young person working for $17,000 a year for some entry level job, but trying to make a name for myself, I would bring a tent and actually camp on, like, nope, this is where our stage is going to be.
Seth Payne, game day squatter is what you would be. This is my land. I've been here for 48 hours. Those are the rules of college football. Preview shows. If you've been squatting in a tent for 48 hours, this is our land. We didn't get a chance to ask him this. I do wonder, Fox is the Big Ten, basically, outlet. They're associated with the Big Ten. ESPN's more associated with the SEC. I wonder if that factors in, but that they're in Columbus, if Fox is getting dibs on best location. We get Ryan Day first, you know, all that stuff. That stuff's interesting. I don't know how interested the audience is in that, but I'm intrigued by that kind of stuff. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Final segment coming up. We'll find out what the guys on In the Loop have going on. I promised we would play it again earlier. D'Amico Ryans, about as emotional as you'll see him in talking about players and an aspect of the media. What parts do we agree with? What parts do I know I disagree with at least part of it? We will talk about that coming up next.